Winston Churchill was a famous statesman and British politician, and he has actually been regarded as one of the greatest wartime leaders of the 20th century. But even beyond that, he was also noted as a historian, he was noted as a writer, and because he was a writer, many of his remarks are now very famous quotes. One of those very famous quotes from Winston Churchill I happened to run upon recently in my reading, and it caught my attention. Here's the quote. He said, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." And I thought that was very, very interesting. We make a life by what we give. A life of giving. As I said, I recently gave a series of sermons on the subject of love. Now, a very important question to each and every one of us. How can we put love into practice? Well, one of the ways we can put love into practice is by following the example of Jesus Christ and develop the quality of giving. God is a giving God. It is part of His character. Turn with me to John chapter 10 to begin with. John chapter 10, and we will begin reading in verse number 11. This is a section, very famous section of Scripture dealing with the shepherd and the sheep. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse number 11. Jesus Christ, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." So Jesus Christ described himself as a shepherd. And what is a shepherd's job? A shepherd's job is to protect the sheep. That's his principal job. But he says even beyond that, he does even more. He gives his life for the sheep. Verse number 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." Verse 15, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Not only protecting the sheep of his flock, but laying down his life for them as well. Verse number 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Sheep, he's talking about disciples now, Christians that are hear his voice and they follow after him and his example. In verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." So Christ gives his life for the sheep. He gives his life so that we can attain eternal life. What a great, great thing that is. The very plan of God is for us to obtain eternal life, and it revolves around giving. You and I, as disciples of Jesus Christ, should become better at this character quality, that of being givers. The title of this second split sermon today is Five Aspects of Giving. Five Aspects of Giving. Today, let's learn the importance of giving, as God is a giving God. Jesus Christ said the sheep follow him, and as disciples of Jesus Christ, we should be following in his footsteps so that we can be teachers like him of the giving way of life. As I mentioned before, the very plan of God entails giving. Think about this for a moment. When it comes to the holy days, and we're only 2 months away from the spring holy days, the start of the spring holy days. It's coming up very, very fast. But the very first item, the Passover that we will be partaking of, Christ gave his life for all of mankind, died for all of our sins. Then go to the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day, which pictures the kingdom of God and even beyond. Luke you can put down in your notes. We won't turn there for time's sake, but in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it says, it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So his plan revolves around giving. For the Passover, Jesus Christ giving his life so that we could attain eternal life, and God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom and be a part of the family of God. And in the kingdom, in that glorious kingdom, the greatness of God's nature will be taught by you and I so that other people can understand God's plan of salvation. People will come to see the example of those who have developed the quality of giving, just like Jesus Christ. Thus, you and I as disciples need to learn to be givers. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul here in this section of Scripture has a list of spiritual gifts, gifts that help build up the church. Romans chapter 12, and we will be reading verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 12, let's begin reading in verse number 6. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Now think about the first part of that verse, that there are gifts given to the church so that the church can be built up and grow. "Let us use them," use these gifts. "If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." And some do. We have some writers in our magazine and our literature that are very gifted when it comes to prophecy. "Or ministry," verse number 7, "let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching." So some very great gifts here to build up the church. Verse number 8, the first part. "He who exhorts in exhortation," and what I want to focus in on, the second stanza, "he who gives with liberality." He who gives with liberality. Now think about this for a moment. Some of those previous gifts that were mentioned: prophecy, ministry, teaching. Some aren't cut out for prophesying. Some aren't cut out exactly for ministry in today's life. Some aren't teachers. But you know, each and every one of us can be givers. We can give, and we can give with liberality. Giving has the meaning of simplicity and generosity. I like what William Barclay in the New Daily Study Bible adds to this, talking about the spiritual gift of giving. He says this: "Giving is the simple kindliness which delights itself in the sheer pleasure of giving for giving's sake." Giving for giving's sake. Givers are generous and trusting, and they are also willing to give their time to others. Here's another thing about giving, when we're talking about giving and the generosity and the gift that it is it isn't always talking about money. We can give in other ways. We can give of our time. We can help others. There's so many different things that we can do with this talking about giving. It's a character quality that we can practice today that will carry over into the kingdom. So for the rest of the split sermon time now, let's examine five aspects of giving. Five aspects of giving. Number one, giving requires the right attitude. Giving requires the right attitude. And that's where it starts with each and every one of us, is that attitude in our heart, from our very heart. Let's go back to the beginning of history, and let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. I went through this, and many of you know the story very well. We went through this in the Bible study series on Genesis chapter 4 through 6. However, not all of you were here for the Bible study. So let's take a look at this. The story of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, and we'll pick it up in the last part of verse number 2. Genesis chapter 4, last part of verse number 2. "Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, But Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it tells what they were dedicated to. Cain was worked the ground, and Abel was took care of the sheep. Verse number 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. So what we're having, this story doesn't give us all kinds of other details, but it zeroes in on the fact that these two brothers are coming to worship God, and they're bringing their offering. Cain brought, it says, an offering of the fruit of the ground. Very simple statement. Verse number 4 now gives us more details on Abel's offering. Abel also brought, notice, of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. In other words, he brought the very best. His attitude was right as he came and brought this offering. Cain simply did his duty. He brought fruit of the ground. And the way that this is told, it doesn't even sound like he brought the best that he could bring. Obviously, there was something wrong with the offering. The last part of verse number 4, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but verse number 5, he did not respect Cain and his offering. Then the last part of verse number 5 zeroes in on his attitude. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So, from the very beginning, in the worship of the two brothers, Cain did not have the right attitude. Abel gave the very best that he had, and apparently his motives and the quality that he gave was the best, Abel did the very best that he had, and his motives were right, but Cain's motives were not. That's one of those stories from the beginning of history that tells us how important the attitude is when it comes to giving. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. And verse number 27. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 27. The sacrifice, here we're talking about the offering here, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with wicked intent? Notice the last part of verse 27. Wicked intent. Today's English version reads like this. Especially if they do it with evil motives. Evil motives. The wrong attitude. And what's the wrong attitude here of the wicked? The ones to get something in return. In other words, okay, I'm going to give, but I'm expecting something to come back to me. The wrong motives. The word giving, the definition of the word giving, reads thusly, to present voluntarily and without expecting compensation. To present voluntarily and without expecting compensation. In other words, not expecting anything in return. And that's the right kind of attitude. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Verses 41 through 44. This area of scripture dealing with the widow's two mites. Mark chapter 12, verse number 41. It's interesting in this section of scripture that we find Jesus Christ at the treasury, and he's sitting there and he's watching as people were coming in and giving their money at the treasury, you know, the treasury to help the priesthood and the things that needed to be done in the church, in the temple. Verse 41, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and he saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Verse 42, then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. And the marginal reference points out that is a Roman coin. most likely something like a penny. Verse 43. So he called his disciples to himself and he said to them, he's going to give them a lesson from this. Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. Verse 44. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. And Jesus Christ, he was watching these people as they were depositing their money, and he could see the attitudes. He could see their attitudes. And the widow had the right attitude. She gave with an attitude of devotion and humility, and Christ was able to judge her heart. And that's the bottom line. God is more concerned with the heart and the attitude than he is the amount. That's what God is concerned with. Number two, the second aspect of giving. Giving and serving are connected. Giving and serving are connected. And that was exemplified by our Savior Jesus Christ. Giving and serving reflects putting God's love into practice. This is where this reflects back to those sermons that I gave. Loving God and loving our fellow man. And giving to God and giving to our fellow man reflects putting love into practice. Matthew chapter 10. Some instructions from Christ to the disciples as they were going out to preach the gospel message. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and let's begin reading verse number 5. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not go into a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that's who he was sending them to. And notice what he further instructed them, verse number 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. So the same message that he was preaching, the kingdom of God. Then he gives them further instructions, verse number 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Last part of verse number 8. Freely you have received, freely give. And this was a principle that Christ gave to the disciples to put into practice as they ministered to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That they have received and they should give as they serve. William Barclay adds this to this section of scripture that I think is very interesting. He says this. A rabbi was bound by law to his teaching freely and for nothing. The rabbi was absolutely forbidden to take money for teaching and that he had freely received from God. Higher teaching had to be given without money and without price. So those that were teaching the law of Moses were not to receive money for it. Continuing on, he says this, if you are to serve God, you must never give the impression that you are out to get what you can get. Christ's instructions means that the servants of God must show by their attitude to material things that their first interest is God. And you know, each and every one of us have received countless blessings, and we are able to give of our time, of our love, and on occasion when we can, our possessions to others when we have the chance. I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, because I went through this in a previous sermon, the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. You can jot that down in your notes if you'd like. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. But remember that this poor individual had been robbed, stripped of his clothing, half naked, laying by the side of the road, needing help. And a Levite passed by, ignored him. A priest passed by and ignored him. Then a Samaritan, who the Jews looked down upon, came and actually helped this poor, pitiful individual. Not only did he help him, but he gave of his own money took him to an inn so that he could be helped. And then he told the innkeeper, if there's even any more cost, when I come back, I'll repay you for that. Gave of his own money and time to help this poor individual that needed help. He went above and beyond the call of duty. Again, giving and serving, they are connected. One more scripture in this regard, Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and 28, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20 Let's pick it up in verse 27. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. Jesus Christ puts the connection together between serving and giving. And that's what he exemplified. He served all of mankind by giving his life, so that we could obtain eternal life. Giving and serving are connected, and Jesus Christ was the perfect example of that. Number three, the third aspect of giving. Give to meet the needs of others. Give to meet the needs of others. Deuteronomy chapter 15. As we've been going through the Bible study series on Genesis, I've said over and over again, I've repeated myself, you're probably tired of hearing me say this, but remember that the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were compiled for the children of Israel as they were going into the promised land. And it was to their benefit to understand God's word and to prepare them as they went into the promised land. This section of scripture is helping them to prepare for the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse number 11. Deuteronomy 15, verse number 11. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. And in this section of scripture, God was promising blessings to Israel for their obedience. However, we know the story. In the long run, Israel did not obey God. And as they slid into disobedience, there were, unfortunately, more and more poor in their land. And God was establishing a principle to take care of your brother who has need. An important principle for possessing the promised land. To look out for the need of your brother. It's interesting, the Companion Bible has a little note next to this phrase, shall never cease, and it adds this, shall never cease or die from your neglect, which would be the case if these laws were not carried out. In other words, take heed to God's laws, and again, take care of your brother. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Now, as I mentioned this, and I mentioned this to the brethren up in Jonesboro today, this thought of giving to those who have need, we do have to be careful. And we do have to use wisdom. Because there are a lot of scams out there in the world today. There are a lot of people who are scammers, who are looking to make a buck any way they can, and they will try to do what they can to steal from you. So there is wisdom involved when it comes to this thing of giving to others. But again, it's something where if we ask God for wisdom, ask Him for help so that we know that we can truly give to those who have need, help us to see the right attitude with them, He will actually help us to see those. You know, I don't want to get into this too deeply, but Lydia and I have traveled extensively to Latin America, as you know, many of the countries in South America and Central America, and you see a whole lot of poor people in those countries. Some of them lining the streets, poor ladies that are begging out there for money. And you know, I look at a lot of those people, and I'd like to open up my pocketbook and give everything that I could to them. And you do, as we go along, we give to those who have need. But you have to be careful as well, because there are actually those out there that are working just to get your money. And again, it's something as you go and you travel, you begin to recognize. So my point here is that there is some caution and wisdom that has to be done, and God can give us that help to recognize the attitudes. Luke chapter 6, verse number 30. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. It will come full circle, Jesus Christ says. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's interesting, this particular phrase, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, means an overflowing cup. So in other words, give, and your cup will overflow back to you. Continuing on, running over and will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. This phrase, will be put into your bosom, is referring to the long robes that they wore in those days. And they could actually take a long robe and roll it up, and it would form a pocket. And in that pocket, you know, obviously money could be put in there. And so what Jesus Christ is saying is, it will come back to you, into the pocket, overflowing cup. And as he puts it in the last part, with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Full circle, meeting the needs of others. Let me give you a scripture that you can put down in your notes. We won't turn there. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Proverbs 11, verse 24, where it says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. And that's the thing that I wanted to point out about, you know, when I was talking about out traveling in Latin America and some of these places where there's obviously poor people, is it's the attitude when you're giving. Because there are many, many poor people. And you know, there are some people that have so much, and yet they will ignore completely those people that are asking. With the attitude, well, you know, there's just too many of them. I can't, you know, what can I do? And it's the attitude. But the right attitude is to give as you are able to those who are in need. Number four, the fourth aspect of giving. Giving to God is a part of worshiping God. Giving to God is a part of worshiping God. Now with aspect number three and aspect number four, you can see how this relates back to my sermons on love. Aspect number three, watching for the needs of others, taking care of your brother, love towards your brother. This one, giving to God, as a part of worshiping God, is our act of loving our Father in heaven. We can't forget giving to God because it's part of our worship towards Him. Psalm chapter 96. I think this is something that we really don't stop and consider enough when we are sending off our tithes, or giving in our offerings on holy days, whatever it might be, that we're not just giving. Well, we are giving to the church and the work to preach the gospel message so that we can have rent our halls and that we can do the things that we do as a church. We're doing that as we're giving, but we're also worshiping our Creator when we give those tithes and offerings. It's part of our worship towards Him. Psalm chapter 96, and most of you are already there, I think, and I haven't turned yet. Psalm chapter 96, and we will be reading verses 7 through 9. Psalm chapter 96, verse number 7. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Notice how many times give is in this section of Scripture. Families of the peoples, as peoples of the world. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Verse number 8, give to the Lord the glory due His name. And how do we do that? Bring an offering and come into His courts. Verse number 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. This is a call for all of the earth to worship God. And part of worshiping God is giving to God. There's a connection there. The paraphrase of this section of Scripture reads like this. O nations of the world, confess that God alone is glorious and strong. Give Him the glory He deserves. Bring your offering and come to worship Him. In the Bible study series, we talked about the sacrifices that Noah made and Abraham made. And when I think about that, it's just awesome to think that when Noah got out of the ark and he sacrificed those clean animals, giving God praise and worship, that him and his family had been delivered from those floodwaters, even though the rest of humanity had been wiped out. And God's plan of having the seed come from Eve to eventually Jesus Christ, that would still be continuing on. And that the world would start over again with Noah and his descendants. And Noah was worshiping as he was sacrificing. Abraham also, as he was going through the promised land, we talked about this the last time, as he was up on the high mountains, looking down on Canaan, on the valleys, and seeing the richness and the beauty. And as he was going along building altars, worshiping God. Again, there's a connection between offering and worshiping God. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9. Notice the very first word in verse number 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. The first fruits. Verse number 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Full circle, as Jesus Christ said, full measure. Into the bosom. Your vats will overflow with new wine, barns filled with plenty. The word honor here, applying it to God, means recognizing Him, His importance, His worth and significance. And giving honor refers to doing something. Doing something, in this case, giving are the first fruits. Again, giving to God is worshiping God. Then finally, the fifth aspect, the giving attitude prepares us for the kingdom. The giving attitude prepares us for the kingdom. It's one of those gifts that we can use in the church today to build up other members of the church. Each and every one of us can do, and it's preparing us for something in the future. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. You know, each and every one of us is learning something today so that we can help and be teachers in the world tomorrow. And we'll be able to give of our time and our service to those who have need. Some people who maybe never even cracked open a Bible in all their life. Don't even know what one of the commandments are. And we can be there to teach them and serve them and help them. Matthew chapter 24, and we will be reading verses 45 through 47. The context of this, watching and being spiritually ready, what we heard in the first message today. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? And I think each and every one of us want to be included in that. A faithful and a wise servant. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household, notice, to give them food in due season. Give them food in due season. There's a double principle here in this particular this aspect of giving here, providing physical food to the household, but also spiritual food. Physical and spiritual. Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. As we learn to give to those under our care while waiting for Jesus Christ's return, it prepares us to help in the kingdom of God. And we will be rewarded with more responsibility. And again, God will see our attitude in our heart. You can put down in your notes Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35, where Paul quoted Christ as saying, it is more blessed to give than receive. Giving is a blessing. And it's a blessing for us today because it's a gift. And it's something that we can use today to build up the church and prepare for the kingdom. Final scripture, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse number 6, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Heart, the attitude, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Being a cheerful giver now, not only of money, but of our time, of our help, a note of encouragement to somebody, whatever we can do, that's giving. Being a cheerful giver now prepares us to be cheerful givers in the kingdom. So let's apply these five aspects of giving, because it shows the aspects of love. Love towards God and love towards our neighbor. Number one, having the right attitude. Number two, giving and serving are connected because that's what Jesus Christ exemplified. Give to those in need, like the parable of the Good Samaritan. Give to God because it shows our worship towards God. And finally, number five, the giving attitude prepares us for the kingdom so that we can help and give and serve alongside of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's develop the giving attitude to be like our giving God.